Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Wicked Pritchard of the East, bro. Peyton Pritchard, 34 points, 7 dimes, 7 boards. Another good one in the last game of the year. Well, the Celtics' next game is game one of the playoffs.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Celtics conclude their regular season with 61 wins. Nobody really in the lineup yesterday. Pritchard and Hauser were out there running around. But basically everybody got yesterday off. No Tatum, no Brown, no Horford, Porzingis, et cetera, et cetera. But we got some reporting over the weekend on Jaylen Brown that I don't feel great about, and I don't know how you could. We'll get into it here. We still have Grab Bag and Clip du Jour to come on Jones and Keefe. But Ramona Shelburne had this story over the weekend about the Celtics, and I know after the game, or maybe it was even before tip yesterday, Mazzulla was attempting to explain some of it away. This was part of the plan. Jaylen's going to be ready for game one of the postseason. He knows his body better than anyone else. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the reality, according to Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Jaylen Brown received pain management injections in his troublesome right knee this week in an effort to promote healing before Boston begins its title defense, league sources told ESPN. So she says this week. We don't have a specific date. If you had to guess, Keith, when she says this week, was he getting the injections before or after the Knicks game where he sat out basically the entire second half?
Yeah, not great.
My guess would be after
that. Yeah, no, it's just because that was, all right, you were obviously trying to win that game. You were going for that game. Tatum didn't come off the floor in the fourth quarter in overtime. He ended up playing a ton of minutes, hits the game-tying shot, and it felt like for the team, all right, this is our last real tune-up kind of kick-ass game before the playoffs, and then after that we can kind of relax. But they just got him to the threshold, 22 minutes, clearly, and he didn't have a good game.
No.
Right? He had a couple of games in a row where he wasn't playing very well.
He looked like he was laboring.
Right. Yeah, because I'm sure he's been dealing with it longer and whatever, and there are certain nights where maybe you can kind of, you know, look the other way and you're like, I don't know if that he's hurt or he's, but the last couple times, you knew that something wasn't right. They were just barely getting him over the threshold, then taking him out. We thought they might even try to do it again the final two games, but they didn't. So they pulled the plug on that. So something that they were actively trying to do, they said, all right, enough is enough on that front.
Well, I'm happy they pulled the plug, but did they do it too late? Like, did he tweak something against New York where they said, Jaylen, we know what you're trying to do. We want to do it for you, but A, you might not even make All-NBA.
Yeah.
And B, you're now impacting yourself and potentially impacting us in the postseason. So we don't know the date. If I had to guess, it would be after that New York game, but we don't know. Ramona Shelburne just reports this week. She says he's expected to be ready for the start of the playoffs this weekend. So I think that's an important line in her story, too, because Mazzulla's like, well, yeah, he's going to be ready for the start of the playoffs. Shelburne told you he's going to be ready for the start of the playoffs.
but he needs pain management injections. I don't see how that's possibly a good thing.
No.
Even if it was part of the plan, you were mentioning some of his minute totals here, Keith. He topped out in recent games at 30 minutes against the Spurs on March 29th in San Antonio. Okay? But put another way, he has not played more than 30 minutes in a game since the Thunder loss on March 12th, where he played 38 minutes and did not play well in that game.
That was not a good game.
Since then, he has not played more than 30 minutes in a game. He hasn't played in the last two, which I agree with. I think is the right approach. He topped out at 22 minutes in back-to-back games these last two games against the Knicks and Wizards when he played on Tuesday and Sunday.
And also to put that number in perspective, too, last year in the playoffs, he averaged over 37 minutes a game.
Well, and even leading into that OKC game, going in reverse order, 38, 38, 42, 40, 37, 34, 33, 37, 27. So, like, I mean, he played seven in the All-Star game.
Right.
Other than that, he hadn't been under 30 since, scrolling through it quickly, January 20th when he played 29 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, he constantly was over 30.
And, you know, because going into the playoffs, you were probably thinking, all right, what is Porzingis' status? What is Drew Holiday? What is Al Horford? Right, your older guys and your real injured guy. How are they doing? And the biggest question is about Jaylen Brown and his knee. And he's been talking about the pain that he's been going through this whole time. I also don't know how they're going to go about it. If I had to guess, he plays Sunday in game one and goes from there and tries to tolerate the pain. I'd be tempted to sit him longer. Now, that's us from the outside being like, hey, you don't really need him, because they don't.
You don't need him against the Hawks or the Magic.
You don't.
You could sweep them without him.
That's what I'm saying. And they drag this thing out, so you're already getting a week off. And maybe they feel like that's sort of enough. What if it was two? What if you give him two full weeks off? Or, like, I mean,
the way the NBA playoffs go, that might be three weeks. I don't even know how long they drag that thing out.
You might not see him. Right. I mean, the NBA finals start 2 months from now, right? Isn't it like the first day of the finals, or maybe later than that?
Ken, we need a counter on
that.
Yeah, we need a counter on that right after the draft.
Isn't it like late June?
Yeah.
Like mid June, late June? So, yeah. I mean, it's 2 months from now from the finals. Now, they'll need him before that. Like, I think they'll need him against Cleveland. Yeah. I don't know how much they'll need him the first two rounds.
So, agreed. I don't think they need him against New York or whoever they're scheduled to play in round two. Yeah. I don't think they need him, per se. But I would like him playing in that series.
Pistons are freaky.
If he took the whole first round off.
Frisky. I don't know why I said freaky.
Freaky. I was like, interesting.
It could be that, too.
I don't know a ton about Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
Guy's freak.
Everybody says it about Cade Cunningham. So, no, I would just like Jaylen playing in round two. If he took the whole first round off to get healthy, I would have no problem with it. And here's the thing. I don't think Jaylen's going to have to be shut down in the playoffs or anything. I'm not over-dramatizing that. But what if he's at 65, 70%? What if he's at 80%? Can the Celtics win with him playing at that level? And, oh, by the way, if he's playing through something and not truly resting up, and maybe he did tweak something against New York, which required him to get these shots, these injections, well, he's not going to get any healthier as the playoffs go on. I can't imagine. So what's he going to look like come the finals now that it's a two-month grind on top of that? Is he going to be getting better? I mean, maybe. I guess that's possible. But I wouldn't wager on that.
No,
if anything, this is nagging and keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it has to be.
Not to over-dramatize it, but I will.
Go ahead.
Did Mikhail get any better in the 87 playoffs while he's playing through an injury?
No. Did not appear so.
No. So, like, I don't know. And we're seeing some of that firsthand in Celtic City, which is the only reason I bring that up. Yeah, I don't think you can possibly spin it as a good thing. At best, you can explain it as it's something he can manage, and he's been trying to soldier through it, and he can manage the pain. We're going to find out, but I don't feel great about that. And they need him at his best, I think, against Cleveland, and certainly against OKC if that's the team waiting for you in the NBA Finals.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is tough. You hope you don't just look back on this as a year like, well, what happened the next year after they won the title? And it was like, well, they brought everybody back, but then there was an injury. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. Nope. I mean, this is different because it looks like he's going to play. But in 09, you know, the Celtics won the title in 08. In 09, they don't have Kevin Garnett. You're like, all right. You still look back at that one as like, that's why they didn't win it all that year. If they had Garnett, they'd probably win. And it's just, he was probably lower on the list. Like, going, if you're trying to like predict who might be the guy that'd be hurt a little bit later. Not that he's an 80-a-game season guy over his career. Brown's missed games here and there his entire career. But just he and Tatum maybe take a little bit more for granted than the other guys. But, yeah, I mean, this is just something that he's going to clearly have to manage. And same with Joe Mazzulla. And we'll have to figure out what he got in the tank. It's clearly the number one thing standing in their way right now.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, outside of a team like OKC, which I
yeah, no, they're legit. That's a good team.
That is a historically great team. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about win totals and scoring margins and things like that, I mean, you can say they're not ready to win, and maybe you'll be right, but based on the regular season, that's a historically great team.
Put them to the side for right now. If you were going to say going into the playoffs, the number one reason why they don't make it out of the East would be Jaylen Brown?
I mean, fans have told me all year, the only thing that can hold him back is health. Well, Jaylen Brown's not healthy. That's not a good thing.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's ultimately how I feel about it. You guys can jump in again at 617-779-7937. The thing that's scary about Jaylen is last year, even with a cakewalk schedule, Keith, and, you know, we called it in real time. I'm not taking the championship away, but I can't imagine they're going to have that easy of a path again where it's a 5 seed in the finals and teams missing their best player in the first 3 rounds. Maybe it'll happen again. I doubt it. So even with a cakewalk schedule, they still needed Jaylen because Tatum couldn't carry them. They still needed Jaylen last year to be the Eastern Conference Final MVP and the Finals MVP.
It's a little overstated, though.
They still needed it.
They lost 3 playoff games.
Right.
So we don't really know. Like, they didn't really get pushed to the
brink.
Could
Tatum have done it without Jaylen?
I don't know. We never saw a game seven. We never saw a game six the whole time.
I don't know either. What do you think?
He would have had it in him, yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
I'm skeptical. I'm dubious, but we can agree to disagree.
But that's also, they didn't have Porzingis for a lot of those, too. So there's a little bit of, like, all right, you're telling me now two guys are out.
Two guys.
That's what they would have had to have been. No, Brown was their best player, and they definitely, like, they played close games, but they didn't play close series. Like, they never faced elimination. They've lost 3 games in the whole playoff run. So, you're right, he was their best player. There's no doubt about it. And you feel like if they're going to repeat, he has to be second best player on the team, probably third best. I just think last year's run, although it opened up for him because everybody got hurt, this year's run, even if everybody's healthy, is not that good. Like, the Eastern Conference is bad. I think it's two teams in the East, and that's even at full strength. And the Cavs, you know, Cavs are good. Maybe that would be the best team they faced. That's better than any team they faced a year ago. And then Oklahoma City would certainly be better than anybody they faced a year
ago. If you get OKC, I mean, Terp makes his point all the time. The West is...
They could trip up.
I think less of a gauntlet than he makes it out to be, but it's more of a gauntlet than the East, for sure. And so maybe you don't even have OKC waiting for you, which means the league's doing you a favor. But okay, league does teams favors all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, the Celtics didn't have to get the Lakers in 2 finals in the 80s. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on your concern level for Jaylen Brown. The report from Ramona Shelburne, we've now found out he's got pain management injections, right? Which means he's dealing with an injury. My guess would be it flared up against New York. She didn't report that. That's just a guess. Is it time to worry about Jaylen Brown and his health and the Celtics' chances of a repeat? I want to get into their regular season. It's now in the books. We know where they finished. We know all the numbers. We know all the metrics. We'll read you some of them coming up. Did the Celtics overachieve, underachieve in the regular season? We'll get to your thoughts on that in a moment. But Jay in North Carolina is waiting patiently on our Bruins conversation. Greg Hill says there will be a resignation in the Bruins front office on Wednesday. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. Because I was watching a commercial on pain medication when it was interrupted by a Bruins game. When you know it, sales for the pain pills skyrocketed. I'm hoping that it's Sweeney and Neely that are on the chopping block. And I'm hoping that the Bruins have left with a solid nucleus on which to build. And I don't know that Sweeney and Neely have
Turn
done
the page
that.
Over.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Jay.
Continue reading.
Jay, good stuff.
I think he cut
you
himself
think that
off.
Oh, you think that's what happened?
He wrote the rest of the material on the other side of the page, and so he forgot to flip the page.
Credit to Dietrich Wise when he was reading his prepared statement. at least he got it all on one page, small enough font.
So he started with
one
shtick.
Page. Well,
he had a good line in there about the commercial.
Big head Tony maybe should get a little nervous.
You think so?
Somebody who's got a little material they're bringing to the program.
Better writer. Jay. Yeah. He wants them both out.
He wants them both out. So I'm with you, Keith. I think the more likely of the two is Sweeney. I think Neely is close enough to the Jacobs family where he would survive and he would get to hire the next executive or next GM rather. And then if that doesn't work out, the spotlight's on Neely. But yeah, it sounds like if anybody's going to be resigning on Wednesday, and I guess we'll find out when it happens. We already were planning on talking to Scott McLaughlin from WEEI.com that day to kind of give you a wrap on the Bruins season. Could be a very newsy day. Here on WEEI.
Now, you know what is very strange, though, is you remember at the time of the trade deadline and everybody was up in arms about Marsh?
Yeah.
Remember all the statements that were put out there, including by Jacobs? It was very supportive of Neely and Sweeney.
Oh, yeah.
It was extremely supportive.
Until you just brought it up. No, I didn't. But they were like, yeah, they're the guys to steer us into the next era.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Like, and again, you have the right to change your mind. But at that point.
Well, what do you think changed their mind? I mean, they've been so much worse than I thought they could be, Keith. Which,
true.
By the way, I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, the higher the draft pick, the better in this second half. It's a lost season anyway. Tank and get to the top. That'd be great. I want them to lose their final game. And secure not just a higher likelihood to move up to one, but also cap your floor at how far you can fall in the lottery. So I hope they lose out, but I wonder if that, I mean, is it possible that shook ownership's confidence a little bit in where things are going?
Yeah.
They felt a certain way at the trade deadline, and they've been so bad since. Somebody besides Joe Sacco, who is never going to be back, has to go.
All right, so
I'm shooketh.
So Charlie Jacobs and Sweeney and Neely all released a statement back on March 8th.
Yeah, give it
and,
to
So the start of it is really a lot about Marchand, but if you go down to the second paragraph, Charlie Jacobs, quote, Cam, Don, and the hockey operations team have my full support as they make these very difficult decisions, which we collectively believe will set our franchise up for a new era of success in the future. Our goal remains unchanged, to be a Stanley Cup championship-driven organization. Together, we are charting a course for the next century.
Okay, so that second part actually is important, because the first part I'd say, well, yeah, you could stand by him with all the moves he's making and still fire him at the end of the year.
Together?
Together into the next century.
Yeah, because I remember at
meaning
that time.
Meaning century of the Bruins franchise.
I believe so, yeah.
Right?
I'm going to live forever. No, I think a lot of people were saying at that time, because there were definitely people getting really upset with both Cam and Don. And
the sentiment was,
well, they're sticking around. They're like, if you're mad at them, like, they're going to be here for a while.
Okay. So what are you saying?
I'm saying people can change.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a change.
Okay. I had forgotten about that stance from ownership.
Yeah.
So, and again, that was Charlie who said that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a weighty statement there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out on Wednesday if there is a resignation, which I imagine would be a quote unquote resignation. I don't think Sweeney or Neely are resigning on their own. My guess is they're nudged out, but maybe there's more to the story that we don't know about. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, the Celtics finished the regular season, Keith, 61-21, three games behind Cleveland, who pretty much wire to wire.
Yeah.
Won the Eastern Conference.
They were good. I told you that Cleveland team was good.
You did. You and Brad Stevens tried to tell me before the year even started.
We know hoop.
The Celtics had the second best scoring differential in the East. They had the third best scoring differential in the NBA, third most wins in the NBA. They were one of the best road teams in NBA history. Grandy ticked down a bunch of these numbers yesterday.
All right.
They had the fifth best scoring margin in franchise history.
Wow.
All of the teams with better scoring margins in Celtics franchise history went on to win the NBA championship.
It's quite a history. I've been watching Celtic City. A lot
too.
Of good teams.
So Terp actually had the second piece of that number. He told me all the teams with the best scoring differentials in Celtics franchise history went on to win better scoring differentials than this team.
Hmm.
They have the fourth best offense measured by points per possession in NBA history, according to Grandy. They have the most threes in NBA history. That one
I knew. I'm not surprised by that.
1457. They have the second most wins in NBA history on the road, 33 road wins. That trails the 73-win Golden State Warriors team that did not win a title.
No, they didn't.
But they did win a lot of games on the road. Their scoring margin on the road, the third best in NBA history. So, huh. I mean, these are metrics that are up there in franchise history, in NBA history. Do you think the Celtics over or underachieved this year in the regular season?
I still feel like they slightly underachieved. I thought they were going to be in the mid-60s, and I know people will say, well, they were defending a title. Oh, there are examples of teams defending a title and winning more games. Because I felt like teams last year looked at the Celtics almost as a measuring stick type of game and went after the Celtics full go because they had sort of been anointed as that next team. They'd already been in the finals once. Their roster was loaded. They'd gotten a lot better with the trades to get Holiday and Porzingis. So I feel like they took everybody's best shot a year ago, and they had 64 wins. They bring everybody back. Peyton Pritchard goes from bench guy occasionally here and there, good game, to sixth man of the year. And I'm like, all right, everybody's back. They're going to be better. There's the chemistry should be better. And it wasn't. There was a point in the middle of the year where they had dipped down, where they were like on pace for like 56 wins. You're like, what is this? So they dug out of that. 61 is obviously nothing to sneeze at. But no, I mean, I'm not going to change what I had originally thought. I thought they were going to be fighting for the team record for wins.
They had four losses in the final quarter-ish of the year. I think the final 22 games, they had four losses. One was at home against OKC. The other was at home against Cleveland.
Yeah, they're 2-4 against the two teams better than them.
So I think they won 19 out of their final 22, 19 out of their final 23, if you tack on the loss as well. And two of the teams they need to beat and go through, we think, are teams they lost to on their home floor. So I think they fattened up on some teams that, A, they should beat, so you give them credit for beating the teams they should. But I do think they had some losses in there that make you wonder what their ultimate ceiling is. I don't think there's any question they underachieved. And I'll tell you who agrees with me. The league. I reference Brad Stevens. You and Brad Stevens talking up the Cavs. You know how we know Brad Stevens was talking up the Cavs? John Schumann every year does a survey of all the GMs going into the year. You can't vote for your own team. There was one team that picked the Celtics to not win the East. It was Brad Stevens. He's the only guy who couldn't vote for the Celtics, so he voted for Cleveland. 29 out of 30 GMs expected you to win the East. You didn't. You underachieved. Now, it might be a slight underachievement, but I thought they'd be better than they were a year ago. They weren't. A Game 7 won't be on your home floor in the Eastern Conference Finals or NBA Finals if it's Oklahoma City. Maybe you can spin that as a good thing. They're a better road team than home team. But, yeah, that's an underachievement. I don't think there's much debate. Now, they still were good. They finished on an upswing. They can win a championship despite underachieving in the regular season. But they underachieved in the regular season. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. We'll get you our clip du jour. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
The world is a grab bag.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is. It is time for Grab Bag, and it is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox are back in action tonight. They did lose 2 out of 3 of the worst team in sports, the Chicago White Sox. Nice win yesterday with Garrett Crochet. Open up a series with the Rays tonight, and it'll be Tanner Houck on the hump.
Tanner Houck and Walker Buehler, these next couple of starts. Interesting because they both pointed up in their last start. We'll see where they're going. It is Shane Baz on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, what's the bet for tonight on Shane Baz and Tampa?
Over strikeouts. I was looking. He has this is a little nerdy number, but K rate, very high.
Oh, good K rate.
Good K rate.
He's going to have a great K rate tonight.
And he's facing the Red Sox.
Yeah, the best K rate.
13 innings pitch, 16 strikeouts, I think it was.
Wow. Seems like a recipe for an over. Almost seems too easy.
Okay.
Buying opportunity key for a sucker's bet.
No, this is a buying opportunity.
Buying opportunity. Yeah, okay, good. So. All right, let's leave it.
Grab bag. After one season with the Phoenix Suns, Mike Budenholzer fired.
That's the second time he's been fired since winning Coach of the Year. He won a title in Milwaukee.
You don't want to be Coach of the Year.
Got fired, went to Phoenix, and in fair, this one I get.
They had a coach for more than a season?
No.
Good question. Yeah, I don't think so.
The great Monty Williams was there for 4 seasons, and then Vogel for a year. Don Budenholzer, they're done. So next year, when they hire a guy, I believe it'll be their 4th coach in 4 years. I think they're going to still all be on the books.
So who did they go to?
They're paying all of them.
They went to the finals with Monty Williams?
Yeah.
When they went to the finals, that was who the coach
was?
Yeah. No, I mean, it shows you how, and we talked about this last week when Mike Malone went out with the Nuggets, and even a little bit before that with Taylor Jenkins. Like, you're such a product of what's around you, and they have a lot of talent in Phoenix. It obviously doesn't mesh well together, but they have a lot of talent in Phoenix.
No.
You're a product of what's around you. Like, I thought Budenholzer was a halfway decent coach when he had a locked in and engaged Giannis. Turns out now he's out of 2 jobs in the last couple of years.
When it's around 1:30 and the takes continue to stay hot, the Jones and Keefe grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. You happy now, Jones?
I am, thank you.
Bruins Devils tomorrow in the season finale.
Nice.
Bruins trying to stay with the 4th worst record in hockey. We were looking this up prior to the show. If they have the 4th worst record, they have a 9.5% chance at the number 1 pick. They could pick 1st or 2nd. They could not pick 3rd. They could pick 4th. They're most likely to pick 5th. They could also pick 6th.
Okay.
All right, NHL lottery for you.
The important thing with these lotteries, and they must, I don't pretend to know a lot about the NHL lottery, but looking it up earlier today, they must pick two ping pong balls. In the NBA forever, it was three. I think it's now four. And so the important thing to know is you don't just increase your odds at the number one pick by locking yourself in at four. They can't get higher than four. You also cap your floor. So you can move down two spots. So if you're picking fourth, the lowest you can pick is sixth. If you're picking sixth, the lowest you can pick is eighth. That, to me, is almost the more important number there. You lock yourself in. So obviously you want another Bruins loss on Tuesday, followed by maybe your resignation.
Sure.
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag!
Celtics season is over. We talked about this. They're 61-21. They are the two seed. They don't know their first-round opponent until tomorrow night's play-in game between the Hawks and the Magic. So do you have a the winner of that game gets the Celtics in the first round? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I think they would. They're going to destroy either of these two teams, but like,
would you rather watch one of them?
Well, they're going to destroy the Hawks, meaning like they're going to blow them out every game. They're going to sweep Orlando, but they're going to be annoying little games mixed in there between Orlando's style and slowing it down and defense first team. There might be a couple of close annoying games in there. So I think the easier path, especially if you're resting someone like Jalen, I would rather they get the Hawks because that's easier.
Why are there so many songs about grab bag?
Aaron Judge is going to be the Team USA captain at the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
Nice.
You into that?
That's a good get for the U.S.
I'm glad they got him locked up.
Who's the bigger? Yeah, who would be the bigger American? I mean, could it be Mookie? Like, who would even be a bigger name? That's probably Trout. The guy.
Like Trout?
He won't be healthy.
Trout, no.
I mean, no offense. We're going to say
hot start, though, for Trout.
Hot start.
Trout six dongs, I think?
Yeah, real nice.
Doing all right.
Undrafted, I believe, in the
was he?
Dong pool draft. Yeah, I don't think anybody.
Everybody was scared?
I don't think anybody took Trout.
There's no IL spot in the dong pool.
No, there's most certainly not. I'm
a grab bag. Apparently, this is the first time that the United States original six teams, so the four teams from the United States of America,
got it,
that are in the NHL's original six.
So not Toronto, not Montreal.
Leave them out of it.
Yeah.
The four U.S. teams,
got it. Yep.
All missed the playoffs in the same year.
Wow.
So there'll be no Bruins. There'll be no Detroit. There'll be no New York Rangers. There'll be no Chicago.
Yikes.
What does that mean?
I mean, look.
What does that tell us?
At the risk of getting.
Curly.
I was just going to say, at the risk of getting on Curly and Boston's radar, that's probably something that they would want to throw in our face.
Well, speaking of, Ken sent us this last night. Did you see, I think, Team USA Women Juniors beat Canada?
I got to be honest. I don't believe I was on that text, but if I were, I did not pay any attention.
No, it's crickets from Marinaro.
I haven't heard a thing from him up
crickets.
There.
Crickets.
Wow.
Grab bag.
The Bears have signed cornerback Kyler Gordon to a three-year, $40 million extension worth $31.25 million guaranteed. He is the highest-paid slot corner in NFL history. Does that do anything for you?
No, not really. Kyler Gordon, they're paying him as the highest-paid slot corner in the league. That guy's a difference maker.
Now I'm standing.
Feels like no.
You all happy? We're all standing up now. Bunch of
grab bag
standing in a circle.
Nikola Jokic becomes the third NBA player ever to average a triple-double in a season.
I guess I didn't realize that's officially done.
So it's over.
Was it Westbrook?
He did it.
And Robertson?
The
Westbrook,
big O.
I think Westbrook did it twice, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're right.
But he's the third player to do it.
Yeah.
And he may not win the MVP.
He may not.
That's a shame.
He may not.
Grab bag, grab bag, grab bag, grab, grab, grab bag. Grab, 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 bag, 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 bag.
It was a tough weekend for the Red Sox. However,
they
did get a win yesterday.
They did.
Trevor Story was the offensive star of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to the Hogdale call of the game. Hogdale's back.
2-2 count, pitch, swung on. Story rips this one left field high and deep. This is going to carry all the way out. Holy s***. Even with 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts blowing inwards, Trevor Story knocks one out of the park. The Sox first home run in over a week. 3-1 ball game. Sox up by two. We get some insurance.
Nice.
What about that?
Watch your profanity.
Yeah, well, you can hear the passion in Hogdale. I like that.
I do like, you know, if you're gonna exacerbate a little bit, 80-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, it was windy there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
80-mile-an-hour winds.
He was on it.
First home run over a week. I mean, Rich Keefe's stats and info is all over that.
That's good
stuff as always from Hogdale.
Good number, Hogdale.
I love
grab bag,
but I can't eat it because then I'll get fat. But it's so good.
Two Dork podcasts tonight, starting at 8:45 live on the Dork Podcast YouTube channel. Davey and I are going to review episode 1, season 2 of The Last of Us, nice, which came out last night on HBO. It's the HBO 9 o'clock Sunday show.
A lot of chatter between you and Nick on this today.
Of course, we're very excited about it. And then that's going to be followed by Yellow Jackets Season 3. All my binge watching from the last week pays off.
I know you've been locked in
Yellow Jackets.
No doubt.
My God, off to my eyeballs in Yellow Jackets. So we'll talk about both of those tonight, and then they'll be available on the Odyssey app.
Grab bag.
Is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent?
Ooh, I haven't checked in a minute.
Yes.
Where do you turn at 1:30 p.m.? Jones and Keefe grab back. Do, 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 do. Where do you turn at 1:30 p.m.? Jones and Keefe grab back. Do, 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 do. Blah, blah. 93.7. Jones and Keefe grab back. Jones and Keefe grab back.
All right, let's take a look at the top NBA performers from yesterday. Of course, the regular season finale for everybody. Five nominees for you, including
Scotty Barnes. He's going to be all-star.
Monster game for Scotty Barnes. 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists.
Nice.
Not bad. James Harden, 39, 7, and 10. Anthony Edwards, 43, 6, and 5. Jaime Jaquez Jr., 41, 10, and 7.
Whoa.
And Pat Connaughton, local guy, 43-11-5.
Give it to the Arlington boy there. Give it to Connaughton.
I would say so.
43?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's the game.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
This guy, are you serious?
What?
Text line, Yellow Jackets. It's a chick flick. Fuck cannibals, for God's sakes. The horror show, chick flick. Oh, God forbid there's girls in a show.
Yeah.
Can't watch those girls. Those guys, there's girls in that show.
Well, there's a lot of classic romantic films that have
cannibalism
at the heart of it. Yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
There's cannibals.
Spoiler
it's
alert.
It's a nightmare.
First of all, Keith, spoiler
the
alert.
The whole premise is that.
You learned that pretty quick.
Plane crash.
Spoiler
how do you
alert,
survive?
My God.
Eat each other.
I was planning on watching it at some point in time. So, yeah, that is a chick flick. That's a,
it's a chick flick.
It's a well-worn trope in chick flicks to just have cannibalism at the heart
and
of it.
And you got to listen to our review anyway. Maybe we hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't. I love it. I love the show. No, this season was the worst season, but I still enjoy
good.
The show. All right.
Okay.
The Red Sox are in Tampa to take on the Rays. So we have a former Ray.
Okay.
Also a former Twin, Tiger, Oriole, and Philly. Was a outfielder.
Okay.
Cracked into the majors 06. Got rookie of the year votes 07.
Randy Winn.
No, good one.
Okay. It's not Baldelli or Crawford.
They were, Okay. Was done after the 2015 season. So he showed up with the Devil Rays.
Delman Young.
Wow.
He got it.
You weren't even ready.
No. Even close. I didn't even get you some good stats.
I know my Rays.
10th in the MVP in 2010 with Minnesota.
Yeah.
He is a 21 homer guy. That's the only time he ever hit 20 home runs.
Okay, he was
underwhelming.
Was he the top prospect in baseball, or like something like that? Right?
Yeah, I believe he was. He was the first overall pick in the 03 draft, and then I think he was top prospect. He was an ALCS MVP in
against
2012
the Red Sox? Oh, okay,
in Detroit.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Finished 10th in the MVP in Minnesota. I think that year, and then maybe got traded. But, Delman Young.
I'll tell you.
10-year career?
A lot of love. I mean, there's a bit of a lag time here on the text line, but Delman Young was a very popular answer. B.J. Upton, good guess. Now, B.J. Upton was maybe the 08 ALCS MVP, wasn't he?
B.J. Upton was another top prospect.
He knocked the crap out of them in that ALCS.
And there were the Upton brothers, and there were the Young brothers.
Dimitri.
Yeah. Dimitri.
Dimitri Young. How about that? Okay, so Delmon Young.
Delmon Young, good one.
Our random baseball player of the day.
Wow.
Hopefully Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, hopefully they go a little better as top prospects than Delmon Young.
Yeah,
did.
Kind of an underwhelming career, huh? I mean, he probably still made, let's see how much money he made. Probably still a good bunch of hams.
I don't know.
21 million.
21 hams?
For Delmon Young?
It's not gonna, that's not
no,
that great.
No.
It's not going to get that done.
No, it's not.
It's basically my Rory winnings. That's
like
not going to get that
50 PS5s.
Done. Okay, random baseball player of the day. Each and every day here on Jones and Keefe in the Grab Bag. You can dial up WEEI Afternoons, 617-779-7937. You got Fitzy. We'll get you the clip du jour next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's time now for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It is the clip of the day, and today it's a caller.
Oh.
And I would say a unique caller who also provided maybe the best ad ever for the Odyssey app.
Neil is in Maine on our Bruins conversation. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, guys. Great show. I love listening to you. I told your screener. I go up and down the country. I live in a van, and if it wasn't for the Odyssey, I couldn't listen to this great station.
Well, there you go.
Very
thankful. It's a ringing endorsement for the app.
Hell yeah. Thanks, yeah. Neil.
So I landed home in Maine. I'm in Bailey Island, Maine. And the whole thing with the Bruins, I was thinking about it for a while this morning when I heard it on the morning show. I think what's going to be happening is I think they're going to fire Sweeney. They want to get rid of Sweeney. And Cam Neely is a very loyal, honest guy throughout the years with his contracts with the Bruins and everything else. He stood right by him. So I think Sweeney's going to get fired, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a two-for-one deal, and Cam Neely is upset, and he doesn't like this plan, and he's going to resign.
Oh, he resigns. So Sweeney out, and he resigns.
What's the setup looking like? Like a big rug back there, or what does it look like?
Water bag?
Yeah, I have a little rug. It's a little van. It's like almost a form of a Waltham little mini apartment.
Oh, it's like Waltham.
Love that. Yeah, right. On wheels.
Sounds lovely. That's where Jaren Duran. We found out in the clubhouse. That's where Jaren Duran lives. You're living like Duran.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay,
not bad.
Now you might wonder why we, because his phone was starting to.
It was a bit in and out.
A little bit.
But I wanted to hear what was going on.
Well, we had to know what's going on with the van setup. We're not going to get the answer on that.
A whole van. Just up and down, listen to the Odyssey
app.
He threw
me,
down, all around. He's in Key West one day. He's in Vegas the next.
He threw me, and I asked him at one point. I'm like, so wait a minute. You were in the van, or what's going on? You're back
in the van.
I know, but at one point he said, and I heard it again, he said he landed back in Maine, which threw me.
Oh, you meant like flying.
Yeah, I'm like, did you fly back to
the
van? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But no, he's up and down the coast, works seasonally, it sounds like, in Maine, and he's listening on the Odyssey app.
And when the van is a-rocking, don't come a-knocking. Yeah, you could have all kinds of stuff. I just think of like the Scooby-Doo van, and like you have all kinds of stuff back there.
I just like to explain your setup in your van. It's kind of like a nice little Waltham apartment.
Yeah, he's like, it's basically like Waltham.
Is that a compliment or is that a shot at Waltham? I can't even quite tell.
I'm not sure. I think it's a good thing. And he's like, I have the ability to go. I'm not in Waltham.
I think it's a big week for Waltham. I mean, first of all, we have callers saying
Kyle Schwarber's hitting home runs left and right.
Oh, good point. Even more. And then we found out, as I mentioned there in the clubhouse, that's where Jaren Duran lives, which blew my mind. But big week for Waltham out there.
Yeah, huge.
Kyle from Waltham. Duran lives there. And the man in Maine, the gentleman in Maine, his apartment is like a nice little. Or his van is like a nice little Waltham apartment.
No, it's not bad.
So there you go. Meanwhile, you heard he was reacting to the Greg Hill report.
Yeah.
That somebody's resigning in the Bruins front office.
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday, Scott McLaughlin, our guy, is going to be in.
He will be. Do you think Sweeney will be resigning and Neely will then step down in concert? Like
If he goes, I go.
A show of allegiance? Exactly. Do you think that's happening? That's not on my big
card. My guess would be Sweeney, although we read the Charlie Jacobs statement from last month when they traded Marchand, and it did sound like they have my full support, and together we're going to move forward. And I can't imagine that they thought once they traded everybody off their roster that they were going to turn around and be a playoff team. Weren't you going to do
that?
Did you
think it would be this bad?
No, probably not.
I didn't think it would be this bad.
I mean, they had like periods without shots. Like they were horrible. But I don't think you thought playoffs. And then for the future of your team, aren't you better off getting a really high pick and kind of resetting this offseason and then running it back.
Right,
clear some money.
But for the future of the team, to your point,
yeah,
who do you want drafting it for? Sweeney?
Probably not.
Who's the dead man that hit me with the salt shaker?
You want that guy drafting?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he can pick the guy who's going to draft.
You want Big Z?
Where's Chara in the whole thing? Good question. This is something we can dive into on tomorrow's program. Keith said it. We are going to talk to Scott McLaughlin on Wednesday, unless the Bruins have some big press conference we don't know
about.
That's
true.
We'll get a thought on the Bruins and their season wrapping up. So stay tuned for that. We have a busy, busy show for you tomorrow. It is a Tier Tuesday. It is a Tommy Tuesday. You got Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And we'll pick up with our draft series. It continues, our draft preview series, with linebackers tomorrow as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. I misspoke earlier. It is not Hart today. It is Fitzy and Mego. You want to dial them up, 617-779-7937. That's how you talk to Fitzy and Mego. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock, right after I give you the what would have been the crossover. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can celebrate Easter this Saturday and Sunday at the 99 Restaurant and enjoy delicious menu specials like the pan-roasted lemon caper swordfish, their famous colossal lobster rolls, or the prime rib dinner. You gotta love the Nines. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 right here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.